I want to talk about one of the greatest words in all of Scripture, the word that you're following along with our one-word study, the word you've been reading about, and that's the word gospel, gospel. I love this statement. The gospel is the greatest story ever told about the greatest offer ever made by the greatest person who ever lived. I probably will not be able to do justice to this word, to what good news it really is for each and every one of us. But I'm going to do my best. The word gospel means good news, and there is no good news like the good news of the gospel. But good news suggests that there must be some bad news. I want to start with the bad news first to emphasize and to highlight the good news. The bad news is that sin is a grave condition. Sin is a grave condition. It causes us to be lost and condemned to eternal punishment. That's how grave a condition it is. Another thing about sin is that it's a universal condition. Romans chapter 1 says that Gentiles are under sin. Romans chapter 2 says that Jews are under sin. And Romans chapter 3, as Paul summarizes it, he's summarizing it by saying all of us are under sin. Romans 3:10, there are none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all means all. All means all of us. It's a universal condition. Secondly, it's a condition of bondage, of slavery. Sin promises freedom, but delivers slavery. In Romans chapter 6, Paul talks about our condition in sin, how sin, we're slaves of sin. And sin reigns in our body. We're under its dominion. It's something from which we need to be liberated. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. John 8 and verse 34. Man chooses to sin, but sin enslaves, and then man goes from bad to worse. So it's a condition, it's a universal condition. But it's a condition of bondage from which we need to be freed. We need to be liberated. Thirdly, it is a grave condition. Serving sin leads to death, Paul echoes in chapter 6 of Romans. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You'll notice the word wages. The wages of sin is death. What you earn by sin is death. It's a cruel master. And when it pays you off, its wage is death. Separation of God, from God, eternal punishment. So that's the bad news. But this makes the good news so great. Because the good news is that Jesus has solved our sin problem. I want to highlight 1 Corinthians 15, the first four verses, two of which Jonathan just read for us. Let's read them again. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, the good news, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, and by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3, for I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again according to the Scriptures. Those are the basic facts of the gospel in verses 3 and 4. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Had Jesus not died and was buried and rose again, folks, there would be no good news for you and for me. Those are the basic facts of the gospel. They also form the basis of the good news. Because the good news is that though we were sinners, that universal condition, that universal grave condition, Jesus died in our place. Christ died for our sins. He went to the cross for us. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. Scriptures declare that Jesus Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Meaning He suffered for us. He died our death. He took upon Himself our sins and paid the price so that you and I can be saved. But the Scriptures will also teach us, that not all will be saved from their sins. Though Jesus died for the sins of the entire world, not everybody's going to be saved. And the reason is that Christ's substitutionary sacrifice must be accepted. His offer of salvation must be accepted in order for the benefits of His death to be applied. So the third point is the necessary response, and that is obedience to the gospel. Obeying the gospel is a scriptural term, and I want to highlight two passages where that's found. The first one's from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians, a dominant theme in that book, that epistle, is the second coming of Jesus. In chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes, talking about what will happen when Jesus comes again. It will be to give you who are troubled, speaking to Christians, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Consider those words. How important is it to obey the gospel, to obey the good news? He will come rendering vengeance and flaming fire on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another passage is 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come, Peter writes, for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, speaking of Christians, speaking of the church, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God, the good news of God? Do you see how vitally important obedience to the gospel is? Question. The basic facts of the gospel are the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. How do you obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Notice Romans 6:17 with me. But God be thanked that though you were, that is, used to be, slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Romans 6:17. He's writing to Christians. You were slaves of sin. You were under that universal condemnation that sin causes you to be lost and headed for eternal destruction. You were slaves of sin in bondage to it, but you obeyed that form of doctrine by which you were delivered. That point of deliverance was when they obeyed that form of doctrine. That doctrine is that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. How do you obey that the form of that doctrine? The word form there is the original word signifies a mold into which melted metals are poured to receive the form of the mold. The Apostle Paul represents the gospel doctrine as a mold into which the Romans were put by their obedience. How do you obey that doctrine? What is the form of that doctrine? We go back a few verses to verses 3 and 4 of Romans 6 to find the answer. Do you not know, he's writing to Christians again, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's the form of the doctrine of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The apostle represents the gospel doctrine as a mold into which the Romans were put by their baptism. They yielded to that form, that mold of doctrine, and were made new, both in principle and in practice. You see, when one is baptized into Christ as a penitent believer, he obeys the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Through baptism, it's as if we're reenacting that the basic fact of the good news. Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and he rose again according to the scriptures. Because of that, you and I can be saved from our sins. And we appropriate the blessings that come from Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross when we obey the form of that doctrine. And there's a death. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized, notice this first, baptized into Christ. To be in Christ is to be in union with Him, where all spiritual blessings are found, Ephesians 1 verse 3. How do you get into Christ? You're baptized into Christ. But you're also baptized into His death, which means to be baptized into the benefits of His death. There's that death that occurs. There's a burial. We're immersed. That's where the word baptism means immersion. We're baptized, immersed in water. There's a burial. We're buried with Him through baptism into death. Death to the power of sin. We die to the love and the practice of sin through repentance, but we die to its dominion when we're baptized. When that old man is crucified and put away, done away with, then there's a resurrection. Paul says, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There it is. There's a death, there's a burial, and there's a resurrection when we obey the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We have new life because our sins have been washed away by the blood that Jesus shed when He died on the cross for our sins. We have new life because now we have a new master. We're no longer serving sin. We're serving God. We have new life because the Christian now has the Spirit of God within. And one who has obeyed that form of doctrine has been set free from sin. Paul goes on to say, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. And all that is accomplished because Jesus went to the cross and died, was buried, and rose again. So that when we reenact the basic form, that form of doctrine, when we die to sin and we're buried with Him in baptism, we're raised to walk in newness of life. Then we can know the rest of Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what's the good news? Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and He rose again. If He hadn't done that, we'd be lost. Period. But He did that for us. He gave Himself for us. He died, was buried, and rose again. And how do we appropriate to our lives what Jesus did for us? We obey the form of that doctrine. When we turn from our sin and repentance, we die to sin, we're buried with Him in baptism, and we're raised to walk in newness of life. I hope that's abundantly clear. And I want to ask you, have you obeyed the gospel? It's crucial. If you want to be saved, you must obey the gospel. And I hope that you've seen from Scripture just how that is accomplished. And I wanted this to be doctrinal and unmistakable so that you can be clear about what you must do, how to respond to what God has done for you through Jesus, and what to do so that those blessings can be yours. But to conclude this lesson, I want to give you an illustration that also illustrates what it means to obey the gospel. It's a video clip. And thanks to my friend and computer guru, Chris, we're going to look at this video. But I want to set it in its context. It's from a movie called Gifted that I cannot completely recommend, except for this portion that I will commend to you. It's about a man named Frank, a single man raising his niece. His sister has died, and his sister wanted him, Frank, to raise her daughter, Mary, who's a prodigy, a math prodigy. Well, as the story goes, there's a custody battle between Frank and his mother, Mary's grandmother. And in this court proceeding, Mary's biological father testifies on behalf of the grandmother. But what you need to understand is Mary's biological father has never even seen Mary. After the court case, Frank and Mary and their good friend and neighbor Rosetta go home. Mary is heartbroken. She is in tears because her father has been in town and did not even care enough to see what his daughter looked like. She's heartbroken. And here's Frank and Rosetta saying, what are we going to do? Well, Frank has an idea, a message that he wants to communicate to Mary. And I want you to see that message.
All right. Hey, put your shoes on. We're going for a ride.
You too.
Ride? What are we doing here?
Waiting.
We can see that. Why?
Because I said so.
How long do we have to stay here?
As long as it takes. Keep your voice down. It's a hospital.
Who's here?
Yeah, who's here? Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a boy.
That's exactly how it was when you were born.
This happy?
This happy.
Came out and told everybody.
I did.
Can we stay for another?
Thank you.
How do I convey to you what it means to obey the gospel? It's the new birth. And there's all the reason in the world to rejoice with a new birth, especially when it comes to someone who is born again out of the bondage of slavery of sin into the family of God, where there's salvation and eternal life. It is a tremendous reason to celebrate. I want to encourage you, if you haven't, obey the gospel. There'd be no greater joy experience today than for you to do that. Or if you need to come back as one who's wandered away, please come right now as we stand and sing.